So for the second week in a row, we are trying to tackle two of the seven deadly sins. As we mentioned this morning, we're talking about greed and gluttony. And like last week, as we focused on envy and lust, each of these deadly sins could certainly be a sermon in and of themselves. But this year, we're having to make many adjustments, and combining these two topics this morning is one of those such adjustments. But like last Sunday, these two deadly sins are somewhat connected or related to each other. In other words, there's an interesting correlation and relationship between gluttony and greed. So I want to invite you to think with me about not only that relationship, but how these two deadly sins impact our lives today. So what is the connection? And what are these two deadly sins? And how are they associated with each other? Well, again, let's be clear on exactly what we're talking about this morning. What is greed? Greed is defined as an overwhelming desire to acquire or to have, as in wealth or power. This understanding of greed is familiar to us. It's a definition that we expect, but here's a key additional part that we really need to focus on in our understanding of greed this morning. It is not only a desire to acquire and have, that is true, but it is also a desire to acquire and to have in excess of what one requires or is needed. So like the two deadly sins we discussed last week, greed is also a desire and a craving. But here's what's specific to greed. It involves a desire to acquire an excessive amount, much more than is necessary or appropriate. Greed is not only, I want this particular thing, greed also says, I want as much of this particular thing as I can possibly get. That is greed. What about gluttony? Gluttony, we know, is an overwhelming desire, once again, to consume large amounts of food and drink. Now, that is certainly true, and that definition of gluttony is probably what first comes to mind for us. But once again, let's step back and broaden our definition and understanding. Gluttony can refer to anything we do in excess. Anything, not just food and drink, but anything that is in excessive amounts in our lives that we do or that consumes our lives can be gluttonous. Okay, so now the connection between these two sins may become much more clear for us. The key term in the definitions is excess. Or excessive. Both greed and gluttony deal with that which is excessive in our lives. They both describe a craving or a desire, but this craving and desire is for excessive amounts of whatever it is that is sought. So greed and gluttony are applied to a person who is not satisfied with what he or she has. The greedy or the gluttonous person craves excessive amounts of things in life. Let me ask you, is it possible that in this world of plenty, actually in a world that for most of us is not just plenty, but an overabundance, is it possible in such a world that when thousands and millions of people live in already what most of history would say we have excessive amounts, how can we not be satisfied? It's kind of like, as you remember the old Rolling Stones song, I can't get no satisfaction, right? And how is that possible in a world where we have so much? We already have more than we need, and yet so many people seem so unsatisfied. How is that possible for a generation that has had more than ever in the history of the world? Louis Lampen is quoted as saying, "Never in the history of the world have so many people been so rich. Never in the history of the world have so many of those same people felt themselves so poor. Is it possible that greed and gluttony are the culprits? Is it possible that the two deadly sins of greed and gluttony are the reason that we have so much and yet feel like we have so little? You see, greed, as we know, is not only about money. It sneaks into our lives and it impacts so many different aspects of our lives. It is the craving associated with greed that becomes so destructive. Lucius Annius Seneca said, "It is not the one who has too little, but the one who craves more that is poor." Mahatma Gandhi described it this way: "There is a sufficiency in the world for a person's need, but not for a person's greed." Epicurus once said, "Nothing is enough for the one for whom enough is too little." What great words. But you know, we need to be aware this morning that not everyone in our world thinks greed is bad. In the movie and in the book Wall Street, one of the main characters says, "Greed is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed will save the USA." We've seen incredible examples of greed in recent weeks, haven't we? Did you ever think in your life you would see a fight in a grocery store over toilet paper? A month ago, that would have seemed impossible to us. Did you ever think that you would see people hoarding hand sanitizer? These are things we never could have dreamed of. Greed. What about gluttony? Well, here are a few quotes about gluttony. Peter DeVries says, "Gluttony is an emotional escape. It is a sign that something is eating us." Benjamin Franklin said, "A full belly makes a dull brain." Another person, George Herbert, has written, "Gluttony kills more people than the sword." James Howell says, "The gluttons dig their own graves with their teeth." Here's an undeniable truth that we cannot escape this morning. Every human being, that means every person watching, that means every person here, that means every person in this church and in this community, every human being has the capacity for greed and gluttony. All of us have a tendency to grasp, to hoard, to accumulate, to acquire, to consume in excessive amounts. Basically, all of us struggle in one way or another with gluttony and greed. And sometimes we're tempted to focus only on the love of money or the pursuit of the mighty dollar when we think about greed. And we say, well, okay, that doesn't really apply to me. But that approach ignores the many other ways that we are prone to harbor, to be greedy, to be gluttonous in our lives. Greed is not only about money. Gluttony is not only about eating and drinking. It is an attitude and a behavior toward life. All of us have a tendency to try to fill up the holes in our souls. Every person watching this morning has the experience of feeling empty at one time or another. And sometimes when we recognize our emptiness and that emptiness overpowers our lives, we do our very best to try to fill up that emptiness, that vacancy, with whatever it is we can find because the emptiness is too painful. So we try to fill up that empty place in our life with experiences, with people, with achievements, with accomplishments, with food, with drink, with sex, with entertainment, with material possessions, on and on and on we could go. We try to take away the pain and the uncomfortable feelings of the emptiness in our lives that fill us by putting into our lives anything and everything we can, and often doing so to excess. So it distracts us from the uncomfortableness of emptiness. Here is perhaps the most important thing I will say this morning. Greed and gluttony are problems of boundaries. Greed and gluttony are problems of boundaries. Essentially, greed and gluttony demonstrate our inability to be grateful for what we have. Both gluttony and greed show that we do not know how much is enough or when to quit, and when we are not able to set good and appropriate boundaries in our lives, we will always struggle with greed and gluttony. Here's another way to say it. Greed results from our inability and maybe even our unwillingness to be content and satisfied with God's enough in our life. Gluttony and greed also break the very first of the Ten Commandments. We are told to live a life of faith and to put absolutely nothing before God, but greed and gluttony put things and people and experiences and processes and a variety of material possessions and goods ahead of God or in God's rightful place in our lives, and they are devastating to us spiritually. In our text for this morning, Jesus taught about what we might call aimless acquisition. Aimless acquisition, which is certainly at the very center of both greed and gluttony. Here Jesus was talking with people who lived in a culture that valued riches. In Jesus' day, the culture valued riches. They gave high priority to acquiring things in life. Does that sound familiar? So in talking with people in that kind of culture, Jesus tells a story that illustrates the futility of greed and gluttony. Conventional wisdom, both in Jesus' day and ours, calls for building bigger barns. What are we supposed to do when we achieve, when we accumulate? What should we do? Well, we seek to gain even more, of course. A good crop is a sign of success and is often interpreted as God's sign of favor on us. So when we have a good crop, when we have a bounty, when life is going well, it seems logical and natural for us to respond to this blessing from God by building bigger barns to increase the size and capacity of God's blessings in our lives, to add more opportunities for success, to have more and to do more. That's the motto of our world. World, bigger is better. But in this story, the barn builder had a terrible case of tunnel vision, which is often a symptom of gluttony and greed. He was excited with his success, but he lost sight of the big picture. He could not see where his greed and his gluttony would take him, and blinded by his success, this man became self-absorbed. He started grasping, seeking to store only for himself, with little or no thought whatsoever to others. And in the end, by being consumed with his own greed and gluttony, the only reward this man ever received was to enjoy for a very brief period of time his riches. Enamored with all the things of this life, he lost sight of that which has ultimate meaning and worth in life. Now, I think it's important that as we interpret this parable, we need to recognize what Jesus is not saying. Jesus is not saying that we should ignore what we have. He is not saying that we should reject success in our lives. No. God does not want that for us. In fact, Jesus himself told the parable of the talents. In other words, use what God has given you to you. Jesus wants us to be good stewards of God's blessings in our lives. Jesus is not saying that. He's also not speaking about the enjoyment that comes from the fruit of our labors. Jesus wants us to enjoy life. After all, as we read in John chapter 10 earlier, Jesus very clearly said, "I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." I want you to have abundant life. Jesus is not saying he does not want us to enjoy life. And we also know that Jesus himself has savored many good things and good times in his own life. His very first recorded miracle happened at a wedding feast, a joyous, festive occasion. He enjoyed meals with other people. He enjoyed fellowship times. And those things did not happen without money and without things. Neither did Jesus speak against savings, investments, being smart with what we have in life. These are not the lessons we're to take from this parable. The key to understanding this parable, especially in light of greed and gluttony, is the very last phrase of this passage. Jesus says, being rich toward God is putting all the things in our lives in a proper perspective. In other words, when we are rich toward God, we will not be consumed by greed and gluttony. So what does it mean to be rich toward God? Jeannie Miley, the author of Becoming Fire, she shares something that her spiritual director said to her one day. She writes these words. Her director said, "Jeannie, I want you to simply love God. I want you to spend time every day loving God. I don't want you to do anything for God. I don't want you to try to get anything from God. I simply want you to be happy in God's presence." And Jeannie Miley says those words of encouragement helped her to understand exactly what it means to be rich toward God. You see, being rich toward God is about loving God. It is about seeking God first, seeking God's heart in how we are living, seeking God's mind in the things that concern us, seeking God's will about our own restlessness and sometimes the impatience in our lives. Being rich toward God means I give God first place in my life. And when I do that, all the other things in life will simply become things I love. When God is in first place, then all of these other things don't become things we obsess about. They don't become things we're addicted to. They don't become things we have to have. They are simply things because God is in his rightful place. Being rich toward God means I am thankful for the gifts God gives to me. Being rich toward God means that I say with Paul, I have learned to be content with whatever I have, in whatever circumstance of life. Being rich toward God means that if my neighbor needs something that I have, that I will give it to my neighbor believing that God will take care of me when I serve others. Being rich toward God means knowing and believing this truth. God will satisfy every need of my life according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I think Jesus wants us to make new choices. You know, maybe that is part of the good that comes from this current crisis that we're all in. Maybe that's part of the good that comes from this time where we have to kind of pause, reflect, and reassess life. Jesus wants us to make new choices. Jesus wants us to decide to live within the boundaries of God's enough. Jesus wants us to choose to be grateful for what God has chosen to give to us. And most of all, Jesus wants us to choose to be rich toward God with what we have, because loving God and serving God are the only ways we overcome greed and gluttony. In these crazy, uncertain times in which we live, we are so tempted to live lives that are greedful and gluttonous. There is an overwhelming desire to hoard, to grip tightly, to hold on to during times that are uncertain in life. But let us be clear, that is not living by faith, that is living by fear. In these frightening and uncertain days, let us trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Let us lean not on our own understandings or our own cravings, but in all of our ways, acknowledge God and allow God to guide and direct our paths. This Lenten season, these uncertain days, these are the perfect times and occasions for us to give up greed and gluttony. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, again, you continue to challenge us during this Lenten season. And Lord, as this Lenten season coincides with times of uncertainty and fear in our world and in our communities, we turn to you, the source of wisdom and truth. Lord, guide us through faithful obedience and trust to you. And help us to lean not on our own understanding, but to allow faith and guidance in your goodwill to help us to live the lives you've called us to live. We pray all of this in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.